Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to a new edition of Rhymes, Views, and News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Uewa Frazier, and today I have a wonderful guest who's here and who will talk with you about her wonderful work in TV, film, music, and now books. Cinda Williams began her professional life of acting and singing after relocating to New York from her native Chicago. Her debut film, Mo Better Blues, directed by Spike Lee, was a critical and commercial success. Blessed with a role that also required singing, her song Harlem Blues went to number one on the R&B music chart. That film opened the door to her next performance in Carl Franklin's One False Move, the true icebreaker for Cinda's career. This breakout independent film appeared on many best film lists, and Cinda was nominated for the coveted Spirit Award. Cinda has since appeared in numerous films, including Christopher Nolan II's 72 Hours, Stuart Wade's True Love, John Nolte's Beautiful Loser, and others. Cinda's television roles include BET's Hidden Blessing, Lifetime's A Courage to Love, HBO's Dorothy Dandridge, Oprah Winfrey's ABC miniseries, The Wedding, and PBS's Tales of the City. Cinda is currently writing and producing a new book, web series, and blog titled Pink Panty Confessions, and continues to sing and accept quality roles in film, television, and theater. Let's pick up with Cinda Williams right now.
Hi.
Am I speaking with Cinda Williams?
Yes, you are.
Well, how are you? It's a pleasure to speak with you today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Cinda, I want to congratulate you on your book, Pink Panty Confessions, and I must say the title is quite, in some ways, misleading because I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know that it was a drink at first.
Yeah, you know what? I'm finding that to be true. I mean, there are quite a few people who do know what it is, but then there are those that don't. I guess it depends on where you are in the country or in the world, for that matter. You know, in certain places, people know because it's a normal drink that they have, just like they might have a Manhattan or a martini. It's especially
right
on the West Coast, or I think it originated in San Francisco, the pink panties.
And that makes a lot of sense because I haven't been really around the West Coast parts.
right.
But I want to tell you that your book is an enjoyable, heartfelt read, and wanting to congratulate you, and that each page offers new gems for the reader. Without giving too much away, of course, I'll leave the floor for you to discuss parts of your book that you feel you want the listeners to know about. But certainly, I also wanted to note that I was quite impressed and really enlightened with your poems in this book that, hey, we know you're a singer, you're a dynamic actress, screenwriter, and producer, and now you can add poet and author. And so I just want to say you're certainly a woman to model after, and if you could just please speak on your inspirations, and anywhere you want to start is just fine for me.
Well, you know, as a child, I always knew I wanted to sing and act. But I'm such a reader. I love to read. So it was always on my list to one day write a book. And I never knew what I would write about because I actually love so many different kinds of genres. And I dream of still, this is still on my list to do, writing some kind of novel, be it a mystery or some kind of supernatural fantasy. I do want to do that style of book. But what happened was whenever I would write statuses on Facebook, this is kind of how this came about. I would get comments from people saying, you need to write. You really should write because the things that you write in just a few sentences affect. And so I'd been writing for myself for quite a long time, just my own memoir for me, not for public consumption or even anybody in my family's consumption for that matter. I was just writing it for myself as, you know, journaling and all of this. And I said, you know what, maybe it's time to start sharing these things because I've found that holding things back and holding things in can be a self-destructive thing. And to open up and quote-unquote confess can be very healing for one's spirit and physical health even. I truly believe that I got sick at one point in my life because I never talked about anything and I'd had so many crazy things happen to me. When I started talking, I could heal and much quicker than if I held things in. And so I sat down and first I started on the blog. Well, actually, the very first thing I did was write a screenplay. I wrote a different mediums. I wrote a play version, a musical version, and then a web series version, loosely based on my life, but separated into several different characters. And that is like my ultimate dream, of course, being an actress and a singer, to get that done. But I felt like it should be an entire brand and a movement. And so I started writing the blog, and I was so surprised and encouraged by the fact that people all over the world were reading it. But it was really just practice for me to start getting into the mood of writing. And then I started writing the book, and then here we are. I finally got it out here.
Well, that's wonderful. And I want to note, when did you begin your blog, and how far from beginning to post on your blog to then the publishing stage, what was that time range? And this is interesting for those listeners who are aspiring writers and wondering how to get their project off the ground.
Well, I honestly, a blog wasn't my idea. I wasn't even a reader of blogs. A friend of mine was, and when I told him my idea and what I was planning on doing, blogging was not in there. But without my knowledge, he went and he created a blog for me, the page for me, and said, okay, get to writing. And that I wrote for about a year and a half, once a week. And about the last 6 months, I started writing the book. So I was writing the blog and writing the book at the same time. And I found that it was too much for me to do both. Mm-hmm. So once I got the flow of writing the book, I had to let the blog go for a while. I actually plan on going back to it, but I had to let it go. You know, being a mother and working and doing all the things that I did and trying to write for two different things was too much. And then I got it published. I wanted to get it published by 2000 and where are we now? We're in 16 and by last year.
Mm-hmm.
But certain things happened to slow my progress, and I actually got involved with the publisher who was encouraging me and wanted to publish the book. And we ended up putting it out this year. So the entire process, I'd say, was like 3 years.
3 years. 3 years from blog to book.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And I wanted to note, you know, you mentioned being a mom and also you're an actor and having these different roles and wearing different hats. Did you find that your commitment to writing was further strengthened by having so many other roles? Or did you find that it was more of a real sacrifice to say, okay, I'm going to carve this time out no matter what's going on, you know, to write and finish the book?
Well, I've always worked really well under pressure. When I have more to do, I tend to get more done. I schedule myself. Being an actress, you have a very erratic schedule. You never know when you're going to work. If I get a job, I might work for a month or two or a week or 2 days, and then I might go a whole year without a job. So I've had to learn how to schedule my time so I'm productive. I don't do well sitting around. I have to be productive doing things. And so when I was doing all these things at the same time, and I was actually substitute teaching also, I found that I was able to stick to a schedule. I would write for 2 hours a day at a specific time, 5 days a week, and then give my, you know, weekend completely to my daughter. And I would write, you know, before I went to work, and I just had a schedule like that. And so in a way, I guess it was a sacrifice, and because I really didn't have a whole lot of time to just lay back and kick back on the couch. I gave up watching television. You know, I used to have my shows, and that went out the window because, you know, I didn't have time to watch my shows anymore and commit to series or whatever. I didn't have time to do that if I wanted to do this. And so I had to sacrifice that leisure time. And while I was writing, I couldn't read. It was difficult for me to read, so I had to stop reading. So, yeah, in a way it was a sacrifice, but I figured it out, and it was one that was worth making.
Well, that's wonderful. And I wanted to note, Cinda, that there were some quotes that really spoke to me in your book, just starting from the beginning and working my way through. You state on page 2 of your book, "It is time for women to tell their own narrative." Very powerful statement, and I wanted to know what your thought behind that was. You as a woman artist, how might this inspire other women artists to tell their stories, and what is your thought about that?
Well, you know, having been in the entertainment business for 25, 26 years, actually a little longer if you go beyond the movies or before the movies, I have found that it's difficult to really get meaty work. You know what I'm saying? There's not a lot of opportunities, and much of it is because of the writers that are writing these things tend to be men, and they're writing what they know, and I applaud them for that. And for a long time, there was a consideration that there wasn't an audience for women's work, which was absolutely ridiculous. So whenever I've heard different friends of mine or acquaintances of mine in business say, you know, complain and get angry about the lack of roles there are for us and all of these things, and that's women and women of color, my answer for that has always been, well, then let's get to writing, let's get to producing, let's get to doing our own thing, because that's the only way I see it changing. We can't be mad at them for not caring about our stories, because they're not their stories. And they're right. and the only way for us to let our voices be heard is to speak up. And so that's why I've really been working on trying to get my own projects out there, because I want to tell stories in a different way that I don't see on television, that I don't see in the movie theaters. I have this thing with, like, for instance, shapes and colors and all this, when it comes to different women. We all look differently, we shape differently, whatever. I saw this movie, I won't call out the name of it, but I saw a movie a couple of years ago. It was women of color in the movie. It was about women of color and their men. And all the women looked the same. They all had the same complexion. They all had the same kind of hair. They were all, you know, maybe 105 pounds. And, you know, they all looked the same. And I was like, it is not like that. I don't know. I mean, I guess there are little cliques of people that hang out with people that look like them. But for the most part, we all look different, right? We all look very, very different. And hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I'm sorry. And so I want to tell stories where you see all different kinds of people. And I say people, I don't mean just women. Honestly, when I started writing this, I was writing it for women from the ages of 18 to 45. I thought, okay, that's a niche, because everybody told me that's what you needed to do. But I have found that the people that read my work are very. I have preteens reading it, and I have seniors reading it. I have men, women, I have every nationality, and I have found that everybody resonates with communicating and sharing in some way. And so when I tell my stories, people are going to look different. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've been going back and forth with producers about, you know, using stars in when I finally get to the step of making this. And I was like, well, I might use a few, but I really want to use some new and up-and-coming artists that have never been seen, that look different than what you see every day on television, and have a different kind of voice. And that's one of the narratives I want to put out there, because I don't look like everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I love that. And you make me think about something my mother said to me recently. She said when she watches TV and sees women of color particularly, she says they all look alike. And I wonder, is that on purpose? Or, you know, my mom is just, she's a regular person. She's not, you know, in entertainment. But she and I talk about things like that. And I've never really heard someone who you're in that industry to voice that, and I think that's really important, because we're all different and, you know, have different likings, and, you know, we need that to be expressed, not just in our different colors, ethnicities, and genders, but also in just how we express ourselves. And so I think what you're saying is very important.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's just reality. It's real. And we have so many things happening in this world today, and everybody's voice needs to be heard, you know. And I mean, please don't get me wrong. The women that are working now, I am so happy for them. They all seem to be awesome people, but they definitely fall into a look that's comfortable. And oftentimes has nothing to do with talent or art or whatever. It just has to do with accountants and saying, well, this person can bring us money because of this. And they all have to have a certain look. You got to be a certain age. And it's, you know,
true.
I mean, like
certain
for instance,
body type,
Hallie,
and all of that.
Right. Like Hallie, she fell into that for a long time. Hallie Berry, she, you know, I worked with her on a couple of projects. She fell into those, but she still even has nowadays difficulty because she's reached an age, you know. There's age bias, you know, like there's no women over 40 anymore. You know, everybody's 20 something or low 30s, but the rest of us are it's a deathbed, you know. No.
Right.
We're the ones.
Now, what do you think about the reality shows? I've heard, you know, I've watched actresses. I remember seeing one of the actresses on one of the shows say, you know, the reality TV personalities have actually taken some of our jobs. How, you know, authentic are the representations and variety of those performances in comparison to, you know, what we used to see, which was people really acting. Women, you know, like you mentioned, Halle Berry, yourself, and so many of our esteemed actresses who came up, you know, really cutting your teeth on theater and film and working with some great people. Now it seems, you know, things are reduced to, you have actresses vying to get on reality TV shows. So I'm wondering, from your point of view, is that a viable medium? Does that provide diversity and variety for us, or is it more sort of monotonizing us, sort of watering us, you know, watering us down?
Yes, it is, and it's all about money. I mean, making those reality shows is extremely inexpensive compared to doing filming something like we used to do. They save so much money, but yet make so much money, and they make stars. These things. That's why so many actors want to do them, because it gives them popularity. Television does that for you. It gives you popularity. That's how I have a nice fan base. But my fan base isn't what a television actor's fan base is, because you get seen all the time by millions of people. And if you're on a reality show, you're being seen by all these people that just thrive on drama. And, and I've met a couple of women, I've worked with a couple of women that have come from that world that say a lot of that stuff is not real. A lot of it is and made up. So, you know, it's not what people think. It's not what people think.
Sure.
Think it is. You know, but they enjoy it. They enjoy that kind of drama. I personally don't. I'm like, I get enough drama in my own life like that.
Exactly.
You know?
Why? Yeah, then you got to do it two times.
Right. Yeah.
Double time.
Yeah, so I'm not really interested in that, but yeah.
So, Cindy, getting back to your book, so we're 8 minutes out on the interview remaining, and I definitely want to leave the last 1 to 2 minutes to give any listeners all your social media and ways to follow you. I'd like to mention a few tidbits before you talk more about your book, and then definitely give us the announcement on upcoming events that you have. You have another wonderful quote on page 76, "I'd rather be fruitful than busy." I read that and I said, amen. Your book is written in a very well, easily to relate to format, almost like a diary format. You mentioned so many various experiences, learnings, reflections. You mentioned vision boards, something I really love, I'm inspired by. So folks listening who are into the vision boards, who are into journaling and writing to grow from the inside out, which it seems is what you're doing with this book, Pink Panty Confessions, there's something for everyone in this book. You have another quote, "I am a student of the universe, I am a teacher." I thought that was beautiful. Just wanted you to speak more on your book, whatever you want to share, and then talk about what your upcoming events are to promote your book.
Well, you know, the book, like you said, there's something for everyone in it. You know, if you're assuming that it has to do strictly with sexuality, you might be a little upset by it, because it's not really about that, although I do talk about femininity and I talk about being a woman and all these things and finding the girl in me. But it's funny that the roles that I played are not who I am. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't have a sexual side, but it's not the characters that I've played on TV, basically. It's more to do with life, my life, the things I've gone through, and I wanted to write something that took serious subject matters but showed how I grew from those things. Instead of just venting, it's different to me than confessing. Venting is just spewing it out there, this is what happened, and blah, 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 and you can carry the anger. For me, confessing is telling what happened and saying how I grew from it and what I did wrong and how I was responsible and how I'm not a victim. And that's what I try to do in everything that I write in this book, and hope and the next one to come that I'm working on now. So, and like you said, there's poetry in it. There's my insights and the memoirs. The next book will probably have a little bit more about my career. I'm very careful about naming people and things like that, unless it's positive, because
sure.
I'm not trying to do it.
I like how you,
kill-all.
Yeah. As I was reading it, I liked how you name people without, like, you gave them sort of a descriptor, without, you know, kind of
right.
putting it all out there. So it was very, you know, it was well, it was diplomatic and very gentle in how you were revealing that you make it more about what was your learning and what your reflection was versus that person and what they were all about.
Well, honestly, that's all I know. You know, I don't know what happened with them and why whatever happened from their perspective. I can't be a judge of the other people involved. I can only express my side of things, and to me, it's only fair that that's what I express. Instead of condemning others for things, just deal with me, because that's who needs to grow from my perspective. I'll let them take care of themselves, right? But they
mm-hmm.
were a part of my experience, and I will have my perspectives, but I try not to be too harsh, and that's difficult sometimes because of as I'm sure you and everybody listening to this show have experienced some pretty hardcore things that it would be so easy to say they did it.
To rip the person a new one, pretty much.
Exactly.
In your telling of, you know, what happened.
Right.
But
right.
I too found that then there's that spiritual side of your book that doesn't do that harsh judgment, only reflecting and recollecting, which many of us writers, teachers, artists can certainly learn from, because we, you know, as humans, hey, when someone hurts you, you're quick to, you know, point a finger. But the deeper side, and I remember there's a part of your book where you are going through a deeper, you know, dig deeper, kind of look deeper within. I guess that's where that comes from. If you're able to look deep within, then you know that there's, you know, your experience and then maybe what they were doing and thinking, and you can only kind of just take care and think for yourself, not anybody else.
Exactly. Exactly. And pray for them, you know, in whatever path they're on. And that's
yes.
what I try to do, you know. And so, don't get me wrong, I get mad.
I certainly, there's so much in your book. You know, I love how you gave space to some friends and people close to you to write a narrative and missive and talk about your connection with them, which is really beautiful. Now, we have a minute and 50 seconds left. Can we go ahead and give your website, or can you real quick shout out where you're going to be featured in on your event?
Well, I have one specific event that's coming up tomorrow in Muncie, Indiana, the Kennedy Library, 7 o'clock. I'm going to show one of my movies, When Do We Eat, and I'm going to do book signing and talk a little bit and read a little bit. That's coming up. And then I have quite a few coming up in Chicago area, hopefully in Ohio, North Carolina. The best way to find out about these things is to look me up on Facebook. I have two personal pages. One is Cinda Will. The other one is Cinda Williams. And then my fan page is where I do and share all my business doings, and that's Cinda, the official fan page. You can find it on Twitter, CindaW.
Cinda Cindy.
Cinda, yes, that's right. Oops, that's wrong one. I was talking about
okay.
Instagram.
Okay, and I want to note that Cinda, I just want to note for listeners that Cinda, C-Y-N-D-A Williams. Well, we have 45 seconds out, Ms. Williams. It's certainly been a pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you so much for having clearing space in your busy schedule. Want to wish you the best of success in your acting, musical, and literary life. Hope that also you would keep in touch if you have any new releases certainly contact me, and I would love to promote anything you're doing. And just want to wish you the best for your book signing event tomorrow at the Kennedy Library. Was that
yes.
Kennedy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
In Muncie, Indiana.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and best wishes to you. I'll be following you on Twitter and the other social media.
All right, thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.